Our scripture passages this morning come from Exodus chapter 20, and that's just one verse, verse 12. And then we're going to move over to Mark chapter 7, and we're going to read verses 9 to 13. Okay, so let's look at Exodus chapter 20. Honour your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. And Mark. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honour your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that.
Thank you, Marge. I think the closing of the Bible added dramatic effect to that already. Added emphasis, which was a good thing. Anyway, sorry, my name is Simon. I'm one of the ministers here. I usually go to the afternoon services. And this week's my last sermon with you guys for a while. So I'll be kind of back at the afternoon services. I think Jason's back doing the Ten Commandments, some of the finishing off, and Chris is doing some as well. But next week I'm at John Knox, so pray for me as I go over there. There's no aircon, so pray loud. And then I'm at St. Andrews for the next couple of weeks as well. So please be praying for us as we do all that. But it has been a privilege to open up God's word with you. And how about we pray that God would help us to understand his word now. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please help us now as we open up your word. Father, please help us to delight in it. Father, we ask that as we open up your word together, that you would change us by it. Work in us by your Spirit, that we might be more and more like your Son, Jesus. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If I mention your parents, if I mention your mum or your dad, what comes to mind? What's the first thing that you think of? Is it a happy thought? Is it a sad thought? Is it an angry thought? Do you feel guilty, or do you look across the room to see where your parents are? Sorry, I just saw you doing that. Anyway, I think my first thought is it's a sad thought. Many of you might know that my father recently broke his hip, and now he can't walk, and he lives in a nursing home under high care. And so talking to Dad on the phone, it's kind of sad, kind of see him in the video on WhatsApp. You can kind of see, you know, the deterioration there. Mum kind of has to tell him what to do. It's kind of sad. It's sad for Mum. The other day, she celebrated her 49th wedding anniversary, but mostly with her friends out at a cafe, not with Dad in the nursing home. So currently, as I think of my parents, of my father and my mother, it's kind of a sad thought. But how did you feel when those passages were read out earlier? How do you feel like you're going at honouring your father and your mother? Well, I think I have mixed feelings as I think about my own parents, and my feelings become even more mixed as I think about the ways that I encourage my wife to honour her father and her mother. Well, today as we dig into Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, we're going to see that as we follow Jesus, we're called to honour our father and mother. And so our first point this morning is really going to be unpacking the command to honour our father and mother. And our second point is really going to be digging into how do we apply God's word to us as followers of Jesus. Well, please have your Bibles open or your device open at Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. All the verses will be on the screen as well. Let me read it to you. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honour your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Now remember that in the commandments, God is telling his rescued people how to live for him. And theologians often say, and I think this is kind of a helpful thing to say, they kind of say that the first four commands are about loving God, and the next six are generally about loving others. Some people say that's why Moses brought down two stone tablets from the hill. On the first stone tablet were the first four commandments. On the second stone tablet were the next six commandments. That could be the case. Although at that time it was also really common to make two copies of the same contract or covenant. Moses could have brought down two tablets, did the same thing on them. Who knows? It doesn't really matter. But here we've moved into the second section of the commandments. So the Israelites, they're to love God, but they're also to love others. And the first cab off the rank is their parents. They're called to honour their parents so that they might live long in the land that the Lord their God is giving them. So what's going on here? Well, I think it's saying this. It's good for you to honour your parents. It'll be good for society. It'll help society to function. It'll be good for you as an individual. It'll teach you to respect authority and to submit to it. It'll teach you to be loving to others. And it will be good for you to listen to their teaching. Remember, if the people honour their parents, they will live long in the land. I think this is kind of collectively saying to the people of Israel, if you listen to your parents, it'll help you to listen to God and to submit to what he says. And if you listen to God and submit to his commands, you will live long in the land that God is giving you. Literally, Israel as a nation will live long in the land that God is giving them. But we know that Israel didn't live that long in the land. They were booted out. And as you kind of read through the Old Testament, as you kind of read through the Kings, it's a bit of a mixed bag. Generally, the sin just kind of gets worse and worse and worse. It's kind of a downward spiral. Each king doesn't really honour their father or their mother, but takes the sin of Israel to a new level, a new depth. This is a generalisation. Of course, there's a good one that pops up every now and then. Josiah, you know? Everyone, yeah, and there's others as well, like one or two. Hezekiah, I think, and you can tell me afterwards. But Israel don't go well with the command to honour their father and mother. And so as a people, as a nation, they don't live long in the land that God gives them. They get booted out. They go off into exile. But where does that leave us as followers of Jesus? Are we to honour our parents or not? Well, this week is very different to last week when we talked about the Sabbath. And that's because of the way that the New Testament picks up on this. The command is very clear in the New Testament as you look at Jesus and as you look at Paul. Take Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, for example. I'm not going to read those verses out, but basically in those verses, Paul is quoting Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Paul is saying, as you live in response to Jesus, you are to honour your father and your mother. And just like it was good for God's Old Testament people, it will be good for us. And it will help us. It'll help us to actually trust in Jesus and be with Jesus in perfection forever and ever, just like it was meant to help God's Old Testament people to live long in the land that was promised to them. As we follow Jesus, we're called to honour our father and mother, and generally it'll be good for us. But more than that, it will actually help us to hold on to Jesus. Now, most of the laws that we have in our country are for our good. Like, don't drink and drive, don't speed, don't text and drive, follow the COVID-safe rules, don't wear socks and sandals in public. These are good rules for us to follow. They're for our good. Now, on our kind of annual youth camp, we have certain kind of rules that you're meant to follow. And you know what? They might feel like a drag, but they're actually for the good of the campers and the good of the camp leaders as well. One of these rules is you must wash your hands twice before eating, once with real soap and once with hand sanitizer, just to make sure that you have killed all the gastro bugs on your hands. Because you know what? I've personally seen what can happen when people don't do that. I've received text in my tent on the hour, every hour, through the night, saying, Simon, another one down in the sick bay. Another one down in the sick bay. It's not a good thing. It's terrible. The smell of spew, it makes you want to spew, doesn't it? It's gross. In fact, I had to wash some spew off the road this morning. Some young fella his strawberries didn't sit so well with him this morning. So we have good rules on camp. You've got to wash your hands twice. You've also got to put on sunscreen. Sunscreen is super important, but it's super gross, right? I actually hate the feeling of sunscreen. It's like slimy and weird. It's not a pleasant feeling. But on camp, we say, you know what, guys? You need to put sunscreen on. It's for your good. This year, we encouraged everyone to do that, but there was one young fella who maybe missed the memo. Maybe put it on once but didn't reapply. And so on the last day of camp, I could tell something was wrong. He came to see me. He said, Simon, my ears are hurting. And his ears, the top of his ears, had like completely bubbled up, like blistered. When you kind of get a blister from doing hard work, it didn't look pretty. You could tell he was in pain. You know when someone's in pain, their legs kind of just shaking a little bit? They're kind of just, yeah, I'm okay. Yeah, sure. Yep. I was going to wait for you, Paula, but I actually got the other first aid officer. You were kind of hanging out, having a cup of tea, maybe. Anyway, laws, rules, generally speaking, they're for our good. The instruction to God's people to obey their parents is for their good. And it's more than just about life kind of working out well for them. For God's Old Testament people, it was about living in the promised land for a long time. For us, it's about being with Jesus in perfection forever and ever. This command to honour our father and mother, which applies to us through the gospel, is for our good and for our salvation. But what about when parents aren't good? What about when parents do terrible things, like abuse? Well, in those circumstances, I don't think children are called to submit to their parents, and maybe the way that their parents are trying to cover it all up. In those circumstances, it's good for children to tell a trusted person so that they can be in a safe place. That's what will be best for everyone involved, including those doing the wrong thing. Well, this is a general command that we need to follow, to honour our father and mother. But there are exceptions to this rule, like we've just seen. But what about if our parents don't follow Jesus? What are we to do in that circumstance? We're about to head into the second half of this talk, and so we're going to see that as we follow Jesus, we are called to honour our father and mother, but in all this, Jesus must come first. Well, have a look with me at another passage. It's Luke chapter 14, verses 26 to 27. Man, there we go. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. In this section, Jesus is talking about the cost of following him. And it sounds pretty full on, doesn't it? It kind of sounds like we've all kind of joined some sort of terrorism group. As you kind of read that, you're kind of like, oh my goodness, what is going on here? But here Jesus is using a Hebrew teaching technique called hyperbole. It's kind of when you exaggerate something to make a point. And so when Jesus says you need to kind of hate your mother and father, you're like, whoa, I'm listening now. What are you saying? We know from other places that Jesus says to honour your father and mother. And we'll look at that in a little bit. But when Jesus says you should hate your family, it makes you think. But what is Jesus saying here? Well, I think he's saying that when you follow him, he must be first in your life. You must honour him and love him and serve him more than anyone else in your life. Even your parents, even your wife or your husband, even your children, even your very self. You are to love Jesus so much that in comparison, it's like you hate those who are closest to you. So you're called to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Jesus is to be number one in your life. And so if you have non-Christian parents who tell you not to follow Jesus, well, you're called to ignore that. because Jesus is number one. Jesus must come first, but we're still called to honour our father and mother. And you can see that in the second passage that was read out to us earlier, the one from Mark chapter 7. Let me read it to you again. It says this. And he continued, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honour your father and mother. And anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death.' But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is korban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And you do many things like that." So what's the go with the korban thing? Well, these people had sort of made up some rules where you could devote things to God, which meant then that you didn't have to use those things to help your parents. Let me explain with the example of a cow. So come with me on this journey. Landline's on very soon, if you're a landline lover. But anyway, join with me. This is the journey of a cow. So you had a cow and you devoted the cow to God as korban. That is, you're going to give the cow to the work, to God's work, basically. Now, you could hold on to the cow for years and then give it to the priest when you are ready, which kind of seems like a good thing. You've got this cow, you've devoted it to God, and at some point in the future, you'll give the cow to God. Are you with me? Yeah, okay. But really, what was going on is this. They should have actually, you know what, sold the cow to actually help their elderly parents, to support them. But a way of getting out of that was saying, "Oh, no, I can't sell this cow to help you out, Mum, because I've devoted this cow to God. This cow is korban. You can't have it." Hopefully that kind of makes sense. But what they were really trying to do is actually make money off the cow. So you know what? As they kind of keep the cow over the years, they can sell the calves and make money off it. Really, devoting the cow to God for them was actually a way of being greedy rather than helping their parents. And Jesus is wanting to say to them, "Hey, your rules, they're silly. They actually go against what God's word says. I actually want you to love me and to love others." See, as we follow Jesus, we're called to put him first, but we're called to honour our father and our mother. And that's whether they're Christian or whether they're not Christian. Well, when I first became a Christian, the church that I used to kind of go to would do Christmas missions a lot. Our team would come up from Sydney and we'd sing Christmas carols in the shops. But many of you might have heard me sing and you'd know that that's not a good thing. Actually, one time I was doing the kids spot and I accidentally left my microphone on and it was not good. It was not good. Everyone was like, "What is going on here? I'm a bad singer." So you know what I used to do? Make balloon animals. But now when you think of Christmas carols, I can't think of them without the sound that you kind of make when you touch a balloon animal. And I'm going to go, you know that sound? I just can't think of Christmas carols without a sound. They've been ruined for me. Christmas is like, oh, Christmas carols, it's a bad thought. Anyway, it was a good thing to do. We used to have a Christmas concert every year and there was ham and it was really great. But one of the guys who was the leader of the team, he had to wrestle with this tension of whether or not he would listen to his parents. His parents weren't Christians, and so when he told them that he was thinking about leaving his high-paying, very successful job to do ministry, they thought he was crazy. In fact, they said to him, "If you do that, we will disown you." What's that guy to do in that case? Well, as we follow Jesus, we are called to honour our parents, but remember, Jesus must come first. We must love him more. And so this guy, he went into ministry and he still did his best to try and honour his father and mother. Friends, Jesus must come first. And then we're called to love our families. So if you're in a situation where your parents aren't Christian, remember that Jesus must come first. But then you need to work hard at honouring them. And a great way to do that is to pray for your parents and to tell them about Jesus, to have those awkward, difficult conversations with them, but do it with gentleness and respect and love. Well, friends, as we follow Jesus, we are definitely called to honour our father and mother. But what does that look like in the different stages of our life? Well, if you're not 18 and you're living at home, I would say honouring your father and mother means letting them kind of set the direction of your life a fair bit, listening to them, obeying them. Remember, this is pleasing to God, and in general terms, it is good for you. Listen to their instruction and hold on to Jesus. If you're a teenager, this is such a hard time of your life. It's probably one of the hardest, trickiest times that you'll have to navigate. But can I encourage you to keep listening to your parents? They really do want what's best for you. They do want you to keep trusting in Jesus and living for him. If you've moved out of home for uni or for some other reason, well, the way that you might honour your parents is probably a little bit different now. You can probably choose your own bedtime. You can eat pizza for breakfast if you want to. Cold pizza is a good breakfast kind of thing. But one of the ways that you can honour your parents is by working really hard in whatever it is that you're doing, trying your best. A mistake that many young Christians can make is to get really involved in Christian ministry and neglect their studies. And they claim it's for Jesus, but they still manage to play video games for about 40 hours a week. When you're at uni, you're there to study. That's why your parents are supporting you. So study hard and be involved in ministry. It's also good to touch base with your family as much as you can. A quick text, a quick call, just, hey, Mum, hey, Dad, I'm going well. Don't just call when you want some more money. I know that I was guilty of that. Really guilty of that. Anyway, I confessed that to my mum this morning on the live stream. Well, what about if you're about to get married? Well, weddings are meant to be great times, but because we live in a fallen, broken world, often they turn into events that are really stressful. And often the parents get a bit confused about whose wedding it really is. And as they sponsor the wedding, they want to have a fair bit to say about it. But what's the best thing to do in those situations? Well, it's probably best to put your wishes forward, but then let your parents have the final say in all that. In the long run, it'll just work out better, and it'll help you to enjoy the day. Stephanie, I'm not talking about someone choosing your husband or wife, just in case you're... Yeah, just there's a look on her face of like, oh my goodness, what are you saying? I'm not saying that. You can choose your own, but then after that, there might be some complications. Anyway. But in all that, you actually, as you kind of move towards getting married, you actually have to help each other to honour your father and mother, even when they're being painful, even when it's really difficult. That can be quite a difficult thing to do, but it's actually pleasing to Jesus. Well, what about if you're a bit older? How do you honour your parents then? What about they're getting older? Well, I think we're called to look after our parents and care for them well. As a nation, as a country, I don't think we do a very good job of this. I was recently talking to Dr. Daniel Guntalecki, or soon to be. He's doing his final placement up north somewhere. And he reckons that there are lots of older people just waiting in hospital, waiting for their adult children to do the paperwork so they can actually move on to the nursing home. But their children just don't do it. And so they're stuck in hospital, they clog up the system, and they just don't get the best care that they could get. As followers of Jesus, we're called to be different to the world. And so I think we're called to really make sure that we look after our parents and care for them. And that'll come at a cost to us. But this is what Jesus wants us to do. Now, my parents, they live on the Sunshine Coast, and so I need to think about how to best care for them. It means phone calls. It means video WhatsApp chats. It means getting things sorted for Mum with Centrelink, which is kind of like just dying in the sun kind of thing. It means working well with my brother and my sister. It means holidaying down there. I often say to my mum, it's lucky you live in a nice place. She lives somewhere else. Charters Towers. Anyway, I would go visit her to honour her. Anyway, my sister, she lives about 5 minutes away from my mother, and she cares for my mum really well. But she didn't live sort of so close to her and care for my mum really well, I'd probably have to think about relocating down there. My in-laws live south of Sydney, We're hopefully driving down to Sydney or south of Sydney for Christmas. Deb's brothers live really close. But I do think that I do need to help Deb to be better at honouring her father and mother. That whole in-laws, outlaws thing, I think I could do much better there in encouraging Deb to honour her father and mother. Friends, it's really important for us that we care for our families, because Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, you can look at it later, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, he says that if we don't care for our families, we're actually denying our faith. In fact, Paul says that if we don't care for our families, we're worse than unbelievers. People who don't trust in Jesus, they know it's a good idea to look after their parents. If we trust in Jesus and don't look after our parents, we're worse than that. If your parents are starting to get a bit older, it's probably good to kind of sit them down and have a bit of a chat with them, with your other siblings as well, and to work out how are you best going to care for your parents as they get older. How will you honour your father and mother in all that? Well, friends, I think there's one more area worth touching on before we wrap up for this morning, and that's the area of broken relationships. I'm sure that there are people who are here today who have broken relationships with their parents. And I know that there's some real hurt, like real hurt, involved with all that. But as followers of Jesus, we are called to honour our father and mother, and so we are called to work towards restoring those relationships. I'm not saying that'll be easy. In fact, it might be one of the hardest things you do in your life. But as we follow Jesus, we are called to do that. Now, for some of us, it might be too late to do that. Your parents might have already passed away. If that's the case, don't forget the wonderful news of the gospel, the wonderful news of forgiveness that we have in Jesus. Talk to God about it, confess your sin, and know that in Jesus, you are perfectly forgiven. There's no need to feel guilty anymore. And friends, the wonderful news of Jesus, the wonderful news of the gospel, is what should really motivate us to actually want to live God's way, to want to honour our father and our mother. We should want to be like Jesus, who was completely obedient to his father. He laid down his rights. He humbled himself to death, even death on a Roman cross. His body was broken. His blood was spilled for us. And so we're called to live in response to Jesus. We're called to honour our father and mother. And the great news is God's Spirit will work in us to help us to do that. Well, let's pray that will be the case. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Father, we want to admit that all of us probably haven't done the best job of honouring our father and mother. Father, please forgive us for the ways we haven't done that in an honouring way. Father, if our relationship with our parents is still broken, Father, please help us to work towards reconciliation as we follow Jesus. And Father, please work in us by your Spirit. Help us to love our parents and to want to care for them well, even when it costs us, even when it costs us greatly, help us to want to do that. By your Spirit, keep working in us, transforming us and changing us. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.